some of those deals that don't hit, you're making $5,000-$10,000 on, that's not impressive at all. We made good money. We were in a good position, but it was, the cash was always out. Another big lesson I just really needed to learn in life to really do diligence, not just blindly trust people, even if they're in your circle.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
I've got Dean Rogers here with me. Dean, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Hey, we all get started somewhere, somehow in this business. What was your first entry point into real estate?
My story starts with professional career in the NFL. Started playing football, man. And that was the childhood dream.
Yeah.
Right there. And it was insane, man. I mean, there's literally, I don't know how long you want me to talk about it, but there's so many stories about it, what it took me to get there, what the experience was like there. And ultimately, what led me to real estate was realizing, here I am, I got this childhood dream right in my hands, and I'm playing great, I'm feeling great. North Turner's the head coach. The only catch was North Turner moved me from tight end to fullback.
Mm.
And Philip Rivers was the quarterback. Antonio Gates was the main tight end. Two, you know, Hall of Famer, Pro Bowlers. I wasn't really at the liberty to say, hey, you know what, Norv? I really like tight end more. Can I just go back to tight end?
Yeah.
I took advantage of my opportunity and played lights out, played great. And Turner's telling me I'm going to have a long career. Not once, not twice, but like several times. I'm going to have this long career, and it was extremely fulfilling, made me feel like not only was I seeing it myself, but someone recognizing me at that level and seeing that many athletes, it just felt so good. But the catch was at fullback, I felt so quickly the effects on my head of being a full-time battering ram. I mean, at tight end, you go out and catch passes, you stay in and block for run plays, but the guy you're blocking is a yard or two away from you.
Right.
At fullback, I mean, you're running 10 yards, you are two battering rams, and a lot of times you're running the tackles, and the gap to run between those linemen is narrow. Only way to just blow that guy up is to lead with your head. I mean, that's the way it is. I could not believe how quickly I was feeling it. Because there's no half speed in the NFL.
Like, no.
You're dealing with the best athletes on planet Earth and are massive, fast, strong. You know, I was a normal size guy and I was 6'3", 255 playing fullback. I was effective, but I was feeling it in my head. And so made, you know, the hardest decision still to my life to walk away from the game, not even look back. I did not look back for a second. I had still other teams talking to me. Despite the fact that I walked away, trying to get me to come back in, and I just couldn't do it, man. I was almost scared out of the league because I felt it. I mean, I was ice in my head after practices. Yeah. Junior Seau killed himself that year. ESPN was talking about CTE out of nowhere for the first time since I had played football. So I made that decision. What an experience. I had that dream, childhood dream in one hand and my life in the other hand. And I chose life as hard as it was. I still have dreams. I'll wake up in the middle of the night where I was just in the locker room getting ready for a game and wake up with my heart pounding, just excited, because that's what it was. Everything about it was exciting, from all of the glitz and glamour, red carpet, Hollywood type stuff that you see on the movies or you've seen on the TV show Ballers on HBO. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Some of that stuff is real life with the supermodels and everything, man. I mean, there's just some crazy stuff that you see, but that's that lifestyle, what it brings to you in terms of opportunities. How did I get introduced to real estate? So when I walked away from playing football, I still thank God to this day, I had a good buddy I played college football with, called me up. Hey, Dean, I know you're done playing football. I got a great opportunity for you. Software company, tech company in the Bay Area, San Francisco. I think I could walk you in the door. And he did just that. Like, literally all the red tape that you see at these big corporations, the weeks and weeks of interviews you got to do, coming in for all day interviews, 10 managers you got to meet with. He walked me right in the door. I met with one manager, which was the guy I was going to work for, had that one interview. and I got the job. The person I met before that, I still laugh about it. And it's what led me to real estate is, you know, I'm filling out with the recruiting manager.
Yep.
All right. And we're reviewing it together. She's like, so what did you make in your prior job? I'm like, well, I signed a 7-figure contract. Okay. Well, this job offers you $65,000 and you're a nobody now, basically. That was a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, living in the Bay Area, San Francisco and New York, two most expensive places in the nation. So needless to say, money dried up fast.
Real quick.
Yeah. So that year of working, I'm saying, hey, you know what? I'm not worried about the money. I'm going to bust my butt. The job was incredibly easy because I was built for war. Like, I mean, mentally, physically, to play in the NFL, you got to be prepared for the game plan, ready for all the plays. You got to be ready for the pressure of the all the fans and the news and the screaming fans and all that kind of stuff. And physically, you train all day, every day to be ready for war. So sitting at a desk, slapping a keyboard around, I mean, it was almost a joke. It was so easy. But I didn't really have skills of being a big time corporate guy getting paid big money. But I thought, I'm going to bust my butt. I'm going to show them what I got. And I did that for a year. They were impressed. My big increase of salary was a big whopping $2,000 additional dollars to $67,000. I almost fell out of my chair. I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I was almost embarrassed. Like, really, this is all that I'm worth? I know I'm worth more than this. And so, you know, I took myself back home on that hour and a half one-way commute, the 3 hours of commuting every single day.
Terrible.
Living on the peninsula, commuting to the East Bay. Thought to myself, geez, there's got to be something else. What else do I even like? What else could I possibly be good at? I mean, I don't know anything about the real world at this point. I mean, I've been... The reality being where I'm at now, I can say with confidence, I was sheltered with school and structure of football and everything. Like, this is the real world now. Go figure it out. So I thought, like, what else is there? I kind of like real estate. I thought maybe I'd be like a realtor or something. I like nice houses. I used to watch TV shows with my parents in the living room and hang around there in the evenings. I have my heart pounding with Dean Graziosi late night infomercials, thinking I might buy his course, you know, as a teenager. Maybe real estate, how to get started in real estate. I type into Google and I found Sean Terry's Flip to Freedom podcast. His energy just lit me on fire. I mean, just his high-pitched voice and excitement, his story after story, and the level of detail he gave was enough for me to take action right away. I mean, the level of obsession that I had, I was just like, this is it. So I took action right away, just doing everything that he was saying in the podcast. And to spare all the details of, well, what did I do? What's this next? By just listening to that free podcast, I closed my first deal in 3 months. And it was actually co-wholesaling a deal with Sean Terry. I followed it to a T. I was even marketing in his market and I couldn't sell the property despite following his how to find a buyer strategies. And I was like, well, let me go submit it like I'm a seller on Sean Terry's website. And his acquisition guy called. I gave him, filled the beans. And he's like, oh, yeah, Sean can help you out here. And he sold it. We made our money. And I did that a couple more times. And, you know, the rest is history after that.
Ups. You're off to the races. Yeah. What year was that?
That was back in 2013.
Have you thought about getting into commercial real estate, but don't know where to start? Or perhaps you're already in it. You want to take your business to the next level. Well, I'm personally inviting you to come to my hometown, Des Moines, Iowa, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Our live event, the Commercial Profit Power live event. We're going to be doing live deal analysis. We're doing property visits. We're literally getting in a shuttle and we're going to drive and see multiple assets. Pocket listings. How in the world can you go find listings and build relationships with brokers? How do you find off-market deals? How to structure the financing. So how do we able to raise capital from investors? And how do you put together proper structure when it comes to loans? And of course, there's going to be networking. So I invite you to come. You want to check it out? www.commercialprofitpower.com. That's www.commercialprofitpower.com. I love to see in person. 2013. Okay.
Yeah.
You wholesale a few like that. Then where do you go from there in the real estate biz?
Well, to unpack the story. So I probably wholesale 8 houses in that first year. You know, I'm rolling into late 2014 or now or whatever it is. And one of the guys I'm wholesaling properties to, mind you, I grew up in Central California, was with the Chargers in San Diego. I start my corporate life in San Francisco. I'm up there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've done a couple deals in Arizona now following Sean Terry and his strategies, but I need to start doing my own marketing in where I know. And San Francisco certainly wasn't, it intimidated me. I didn't understand the market there. These multi-million dollar houses that look terrible. Like how does this make sense? So I grew up in Central California where houses are $200,000-$300,000 as median price points. So I went back to marketing there, started doing deals. Now, a guy I started wholesaling a couple deals to, he's like, dude, you're good at finding deals. You want to flip houses together? That was the next progression that I wanted to go to. I had just joined Fortune Builders. Now I'm an expert on how to flip houses.
Sure.
Hadn't done one yet. But I went through all the training and I'm feeling confident and prepared, kind of slowing down a little bit here in Central California. I know you said you did some wholesale deals in Arizona. You want to do some flips there? I'm like, sure, I still got contacts. Let's let it roll. The sad beginner, make all the bad mistake stories starts here. A year deep, yes. I've made some decent money, nothing to brag about, but decent money for my first year and proving to myself I can do this business. I told my wife, hey, pretty soon here, I'm going to be making some good money. You could probably quit your job pretty soon. Like, it's just hilarious. What I do next, we get into the flips. We buy six in a month and a half. In Arizona.
A whole bunch real quick.
Real quick. And for me, I told my partner, like, hey, I don't have the money to do flips. He says, you just find the deals, keep doing what you're good at. I'll bring the rest of the resources. So we buy six real quick, four of them pencil out. They work, they make money. Not a lot to brag about, but they make money. The first two we bought, we rushed to select a contractor. We rushed on buying the properties, trusting the realtors on what the comps were. They were young. Hustler kind of realtors. They just wanted to commission and get the deal done. All the rookie mistakes. I mean, to the point where it's embarrassing. Thankfully, I'm where I'm at now. I can laugh about it, but we lost $100,000 on those first flips. Talk about a gut punch. Money dries up working in the Bay Area. I make a little bit of money. I'm ready to step it up to the big leagues and start flipping houses. The first thing I'm met with is adversity. I just get punched in the face, lose a bunch of money. There's all the contractor stories of terrible work, literally having to redo the entire project, leaving the job with money. The comps on this side of the street, good to go. The side of the street our house is on, not so good. $50,000 less. So just big, big pain right at the beginning. And why I love grit, real grit is... Same thing with my experience in the NFL. Like the only way that I got there, I can tell you right now, I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the strongest. I wasn't the most athletic, but it was my grit of just every play, giving it everything I got and continuing to stay with it consistently is what got me ahead. I looked myself in the mirror. I thought to myself, what else can I do? I just got to fight my way out of it. I just fought myself out of that for the next year. Every next deal that we did back in our local market as a flip, and you know, a flip doesn't happen overnight. It takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months for that cash to turn over.
Yep.
The next year and a half, I had to fight myself out of that hole that I had dug and repay my partner back. And he tells me after the fact, like, hey, that was huge. Like that solidified the fact that we should be partners because we were dating each other really for a year and a half until we really put it on paper. That solidified because you had all the reason to just walk away and say, hey, I failed. But you had grit and you stuck with it. That proved a lot.
Have you been to the vault? Realgritvault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. Realgritvault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. Realgritvault.com. So you dig yourself out of this hole through largely through flipping properties back in the backyard. And then where do you go from there? You solidify a partnership together?
Solidify a partnership, keep that going, cranking on flips now. We slow roll in that first year to doing roughly around 20 flips. Then we do about 40 flips. It almost doubles each time. So 40, and then we get around 60-ish. Then we got around the 70 to 80. And then finally, handful of years into it, we finally break 100 flips in a year. Right around that time, I was feeling a couple things that happened. There were a couple more things in my journey, like big milestone moments of pain. And this is where the next one came. Doing that many flips, flipping 20 houses at a time and just churning and burning, we felt cash poor all the time. We felt cash broke because that's just a conveyor belt of cash. Money comes in the door, immediately back out.
The cash monster.
Cash monster. And unless you're getting big rips on these deals where you're making $40, $50, $60, $70, $80, $100,000, if we're doing volume, which we were, and if I would change it going back, we were willing and able to make 15, 20 grand on a deal. And once you figure your marketing costs, your overhead costs, when you really do the math, you think you're doing great. You're like, well, what's left over? There's really not that much money per deal to brag about. And then some of those deals that don't hit as you thought, you're making five, 10 grand on. That's not impressive at all. You basically, that was a wash. You know, you wasted your time.
Correct.
That's the truth behind kind of what it was like for us. Now, we made good money. We were in a good position, but it was, the cash was always out. So it felt broke. Around that same time, a short story of another big lesson, I guess I just really needed to learn in life to really do diligence. I guess I needed to learn it a second time and to not just blindly trust people, even if they're in your circle, right? Back in San Diego now, living in San Diego, we wanted warmer weather than San Francisco, nicer beaches. So we're back in San Diego. Someone in the circle of trust, a wolf in sheep's clothing, just prowling around, doing deals, talking a lot, making this money. Look at me, flashy this. Hey, you want to do deals with me? I'll bring you along. He presents an opportunity for me to do a new construction deal. To me, I'm like, let me look at the numbers. I'm not too interested right now. I come back to it again. All right, I guess I'll do it. These numbers look all right. And you said the project's ready to go. Like we could literally break ground as soon as I buy into it. And to cut to the butt of the joke is it was a house of cards. It was a complete house of cards. As soon as I bought it, it was one lie after another as to why we weren't starting. And one night it just hit me so heavy to where I realized like that terrible feeling that overcomes your body of fear and just being scared, because I knew, I finally realized I just got scammed. Like, are you serious? I got scammed? I've been around this guy a bunch of times. This didn't happen to me. This is crazy. I'm always trying to do the right thing. I'm always trying to be positive. There's no way I attracted like a criminal to this extent. Well, the sad story was he had gotten millions of dollars of other people's money tied up into complete crap projects. I mean, like a Ponzi scheme status where he'd borrow three, four, five people's money on one project, said he recorded it, but he didn't. He's out buying, you know, cars and doing all sorts of different stuff, selling projects for a loss. I mean, just absolute criminal. And so I had a pile of dirt, Neil, for a year and a half that I had to fight with civil engineers, the city, like every architects, everybody who was supposed to have been paid, and the hard money loan that had been taken out and money withdrawn to pay for those things, none of it had been paid for.
Zippo.
Zippo. I had to go renegotiate. I had to go fight. I was already cash poor from all the money out on flips. I had to really dig deep to overcome this. I had to, of course, go get more deals. I had to really just fight through this terrible situation rather than walking away and letting it get worse or just ignoring it. I fought it head on and I was just constantly working through it. Ended up losing myself, not with my partner, all by my lonesome, $187,000. It was painful. I mean, just knowing that you got scammed and taken advantage of like that, just your heart's pounding going to bed, just feeling sick to your stomach. But again, another moment in my journey, in my story, where I had to dig down deep. And it's like, dude, you created this mess. I love when people talk about ownership in making their mistakes, because easily each one of those situations, I could point the fingers. No one made me do those deals. No one had a gun to my head and said, sign this contract, do this deal. I decided, and I could have made one phone call to the architect, to the civil engineer, to the hard money lender who I had their cell phone. I didn't do that simple level of due diligence to verify this information was accurate. And I got the crap beat out of me because of it. It was my fault.
How'd you dig out of that one?
Same thing as last time. Got to do deals. So fought through, got the plans, everything with the city to the point where plans were approved. This was ready to be built on. I did not want to do the project and spend another 6 months building it out. I did the math. I was going to lose the same amount, if not more. So sold it to an owner builder. They took the project on, did it themselves, no problem. Took my loss and started doing more deals. Soon after, we're doing more flips. I felt 1 month in 2018, I believe it was October or November, interest rates had jumped out of nowhere for the first time in a while. And the market kind of just like took a pause, took a breath. And with 20 flips going all the time, my butt puckered a little bit. And I thought to myself, dude, we're good at finding deals. We're not good at doing too many flips, even though we know how to do them. We're not good at doing too many. So let's wholesale. Let's buy rentals so we can build some wealth here because we're just flipping and flipping and flipping. And let's do a couple flips at a time. So we've been doing that ever since 2019. Past couple of years, consistently been doing 100 deals. The rental portfolio is now almost $10 million. And I'm so happy where things are at now because I went through and had to overcome those pains. Just when I was feeling great, got knocked down again. I mean, it happened several times. At this point we're at now, Neil, like we're a complete authority in our market. We run a local meetup group. I just joined forces with two other guys, Jason Pritchard and Stratton Brown. We co-host the Central California Real Estate Investing Group. And we get several hundred people that come to every single event. And we are so crazy passionate about giving value to others and just helping anybody with no expectations. When you do that, like the blessings just come pouring in. That all started back in 2020. Just a brief story on that. I had the great idea. You know what? I've been doing all these flips, doing all these deals. But the reality was, is I had ignored for years. I had that same football mentality of put my head down and do the hard work. It's up to you to do the work.
Grind.
I'm going to grind. I'm going to ignore all the outside noise. I'm not going to be talking too much. I'm going to keep my head down. Well, for 5 or 6 of those years in my career so far, my head was down and not networking and connecting with people. It finally, the light bulb went off finally in end of 2019, when I thought to myself, dude, we're doing these deals. We're doing great in our market, but how many people really actually know me? I don't think that many people actually know me. And that's a huge missed opportunity, like for opportunities. I thought I had the great idea. Let's start a meetup. The first one was February of 2020. About 100 people showed up. Great turnout, great energy. This is exactly why we did it. This is amazing. We show up, we give value to others, we shake hands, we're building new relationships. This is beautiful. And then the next one, let's do our next one, March 2020. Let's set it all up. Everything's ready. Invites are out. And days before, I'm about to get on a plane to go to Central California, everything gets shut down. To kind of speed through what I did next was I got to social media. I had hardly used social media. I mean, you wouldn't know at that time that I even did real estate because I would just post videos of me with my kids at the beach. You wouldn't even realize that I'm even really doing real estate. I started sharing about what are the deals we're doing, what kind of results we're getting, sharing numbers like, hey, we made this on this, right? We just made this mistake. This is what happened. How we overcame it. Then I started a call to action like, hey guys, I want to network with you. I want to help you. If you need help with your deals, bring it to me. If you just got a qualified lead, we'll help you with the seller. We'll negotiate the best deal. We'll go on the appointment and get pictures. We'll sell it to a cash buyer for wholesaling it for top dollar. We'll handle the whole escrow process. You get paid 50% of the profit. You might not have had the skill set or the experience to even know how to put the deal together.
Yeah, execute it. That's right.
And so we wanted to give as much value as possible. Then I started having deals come in through there. And I started sharing about those results. And I started saying, I love sending friends money. This is so much fun. And then I got the branding idea. Well, I'm going to call it Friends with Benefits, right? Everybody's in the friend zone right now. But once we do a deal, break bread, like we're Friends with Benefits now. So we've got t-shirts. I'm actually wearing one of them right now. Says Friends with Benefits on the back. And now you get to earn a t-shirt. You get one of our company hats, one of our company Yeti mugs. It's made it fun. So that grew, right? To in 1 year, we did $1 million of additional revenue just from our Friends with Benefits program. That continues to grow. We hired someone on full-time to manage that for us, those relationships. And it led to networking and growing with the other local meetups. And we just started vibing. I said, let's get together. Let's coordinate. Let's co-host events. And all of 22 was a great representation where we executed on that. We even threw a 600 plus person event in Fresno, California. We had Pace Morby, Jameel Damji, Henry Washington. Yeah. It sold out within literally a week. I mean, it was an incredible experience and event. And it felt good that we were able to bring that to our community.
Tremendous value.
So much value just for everybody. One of the people that went to that event, as an example, came to us and said, hey, I'm a truck driver. I got this lead. I know the person personally. I don't really know how to figure it out. Came to the guy on my team that runs the program. Came to us. We figured out there was, a tenant problem. The property was in total shambles. We solved both those problems with cash for keys, getting multiple buyers in. Several of the buyers came in with very low offers, and we still pushed harder, found another buyer that was willing to pay substantially more. We sold that property for a net profit of $105,000 after the cash for keys, which was $5,000. So 110 minus the five, 105 net profit. That truck driver got $52,500, probably more than a salary in one shot. Yeah. I mean, talk about what dreams are made of. Like, that's
incredible. An
incredible story and so much fun for all of us. And that's the kind of impact that we want to make. And it's just been fun, man.
Well, speaking of impact, I know you've got a coaching business where you connect with people. Yep. and help them take what they're doing to a totally different level. Tell me a little about that.
So the Friends with Benefits program was like pretty much the template for, hey, you can really add value to people. People can have success. And I had some good friends like push me off the edge of the cliff. And they're like, dude, you got to get into coaching. So enough people were asking for it, and good friends really pushed me off the ledge. Started my coaching program called the Wholesaling Playbook. Same experience. It's just been so rewarding to really help people, give them just the fundamental skills, hold them accountable, and create that community feel to where everybody's that's taking action is winning, right? There's always going to be people that aren't taking the action they need to. And that's the reality. The people that are taking action are getting real results, and it's extremely rewarding. And I feel like the sky's the limit. My goal with that, my passion project behind that, is I want to build a community of other people that are just growing in success. We all grow together. We all win together. And that's what's happening right now. And I couldn't be more excited about where it's going. I'm scratching the surface on it. I haven't even like put any marketing into it or anything. It's all been pretty much word of mouth, some social media posts here and there, but I think it's going to take off. I've seen other people do it really successfully. And the communities that they have, like example, our last event, we had Pace and Jameel, Henry Washington. Yeah. I mean, the level of support that they have when they showed up to our event was overwhelming, because they have impacted so many people. And I hope to do the same. And I think that just comes with passion, helps with being genuinely interested in helping other people. And that's what I always try to bring to the table.
No, it's highly rewarding from your side to be able to, not so much dollars and cents, but it's the impact that you can have in somebody's life and totally change, as you mentioned, the truck driver. What an amazing example of your level of impact that you can have in somebody else's life.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's do this. I'm going to move on to the final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
Your favorite quote. Only you can prevent forest fires. Smokey the Bear said it. What about that resonates most with you?
It came to mind first. And I mean, there's a million other quotes that I'll see and I'll love maybe equally as much. But it was the first thing that came to mind, because when I think about my story, it always comes down to you. People want to point the finger. People want to press the easy button. The reality is, for almost anything that is worth doing is hard, right? It's so easy to be comfortable and sit on the couch and watch Netflix. So I got 5 Netflix shows right now, I can tell you out loud, that I can't wait to watch. I just haven't been able to get to them because I got too many other things that are more important. Mm-hmm. And it's my business and spending time with family. Netflix gets pushed to the side. Yep. And I'm still staying up late, going to bed late, working on what I am passionate about, because I know that's what it's going to take to get me to that next level and have those breakthroughs, that next breakthrough. And so only you can prevent forest fires. I mean, dude, for me, each time, like, you got to just go the extra step to like do your due diligence, right? It's going to be on you. You can't blame other people. So that's where that came from.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Boy. So first and foremost, it's going to be information. Information is going to be part of it. But at some point, it's not information. It's about having the right relationships and having the right level of accountability and structure. Mm. For me, for instance, like, what really helped accelerate the business over the past couple of years was relationships.
Yeah.
We were still doing what we were doing in our business. We were still having success doing it the same way we were and making tweaks and improvements and getting better and striving for greatness, all that kind of good stuff. But relationships opened up the floodgates. And so, man, once you start playing that game of abundance mindset and really truly believing in, you know, who's the next person I need to meet? Who, not how, right? Who's the right person? Not how do I do it? My gosh, like, it's a blessing when you've got the right person you can call. Boom, they solve that problem. Boom, they have the right tool or information you need.
That's exactly
it's right. Crazy. And I'm lit on fire with that concept because I feel like I was late to that game. Like I said, I'm finally starting to see the fruition of some of those like bigger plays come together with the relationships. And it's so much more fun when you play that game. So first it's information, and then next it's going to be relationships. And then just getting a part of a community is really important because to have that level of accountability, someone else who's looking at you saying like, yo, you can do more. Or like, hey, you said you're going to do, wait, you haven't done it yet? Like, what are you doing then? Right? Having somebody to be in your ear is really important for that.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I'd say it's sports. It always has been sports. Yeah. That's just, it clicks for me. Like if I go play pickup basketball, I'm just in like a blissful trance. I'm just so happy, right? All the happy chemicals in my brain are just, you know, firing off.
Everything's gone.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, right? So I think the perfect kind of life is the combination of sports and travel with the family and finding, you know, exciting new adventures. That's excited about.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Just simply giving of information. I think it can help so many people. I mean, I think when I first got started in the business, it was more of a competitive environment. It was more of, hey, it's my deal. I'm going to throw some elbows, right?
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for the fact myself and a few others in my market have seen people like the Paces and the Jamils and the Carlos Reyeses and the Rafael Cortez and the Justin Colbys and a laundry list of people in Arizona, Brent Daniels, that have really spearheaded the, you know, collaboration concept, right? We can all win together. We can all grow together. So we've really tried to replicate that model in Central California. And I feel like we're doing it successfully right now. And that's where I can see the biggest impact. And it is just so much fun when you do it, right? When you can continuously see some of the same people, continuously meet new people that you can just really light a fire under. You can see it in their eyes, just like now they're motivated. That was the trigger they needed. It's just fun. And when you get to a certain level of success, of course, you want to see that reciprocated. You want to see that follow through. Like if you're going to give value, you want to see that really the value back is them actually doing it and taking action. Yeah. So if you're new listening to this, hey, go show that passion to somebody who's experienced. And if they have the right mindset, they're going to pour into you. But go do the work, right? Go do the work and they'll keep pouring into you.
Go do the work. You're absolutely right about that. It requires action. You got to take action in anything that you do. Otherwise, nothing happens, right? I suppose doing nothing is an action too. It just doesn't lead to a very good outcome. Dean, it's been great. You've got an amazing story, your whole background from playing ball to how you got into this business and then digging yourself out of a few holes, having grit to be able to get through, and really now how you've collaborated with multiple people and, you know, that really that a go-giver attitude And it's incredible. And it sounds like it's paying back in a big way. For people, they want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you. Where can they go? What should they do?
So I always want to say this as much as I can. So if people want to find me, they can go to deanrogers.com, right? There's going to be a big connect button at the top menu. You're going to see all my social platforms, like Instagram is at Dean Rogers Real Estate, YouTube's youtube.com/Dean Rogers. Like, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. But beyond that, the message I always say is, guys, you can connect, you can follow me, you can see what I'm doing, which I highly encourage you to do. But if you don't reach out and actually try to start a conversation, then there's a missed opportunity. I really want everybody who's listening to this to go to my Instagram, to go to my YouTube, like, subscribe, and reach out. Connect with me. I want to talk with you. Let me know you saw me on the Real Grit podcast, right? And that would mean a lot to me, because then I can see, I can feel that people are taking action. People got value out of this. People are ready to do something with this information and ready to take it to the next level. And I hope to impact you in any sort of way that I can. So reach out, let's connect, and look forward to it.
That's terrific. Dean, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks.
You bet. For everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge, how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving the passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com. 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com. And I'll see you in the challenge.